Welcome, my friends, to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy here as well. Bill, from time to time, some of the celebrities will say something that will ring a bell with me because I did not expect them to say it, but they are reflecting something of the spirit of the age. They reflect something of the zeitgeist and the direction to which our entire society is going. These are the cultural and social leaders of our day, and I'm talking about Chris Rock. You know Chris Rock, the comedian.
Yeah, he hosted the Academy Awards and
got clobbered for his pains.
Well, it was an open-handed slap.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a funny deal because Will Smith and was upset that Chris Rock showed disrespect toward his wife, but Will Smith does that every day because he has an open marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole thing's very odd.
There's a lot of hypocrisy going on.
Yeah,
and yet at the same time, you have Chris Rock, who is pointing out the hypocrisy in the abortion movement.
Yes, he is, and this is a World Net Daily article. Shocked me, Bill. I just didn't expect anything like this. He is presented as a pro-choice comedian, Chris Rock, but he was joking about the idea that abortion could ever be safe. And according to Philadelphia Magazine, the tickets for his Saturday performance was $1,000. And he's mocking the safe abortion. He says, I guess a safe abortion is an abortion where only one person dies. There's a little truth coming out from under the edges on this.
Not a little bit. It's just leaking out everywhere. Yeah.
That's a pretty impressive. Obviously, Philadelphia Magazine was not happy about this, and there were people attending this that apparently were not happy with what he was saying, but he's not the only one who's said things like this. Fellow comedians Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. have made similar comments about the fact that abortion is killing, despite their pro-abortion positions. So there's something of a rising epistemological self-consciousness, which means they're self-conscious of their position and attempting to be somewhat self-consistent with what they know to be true. And now listen to what Chappelle said in 2019, in the Netflix special. He's referring to abortion at a Netflix special. This would be, you know, mainstream media, mainstream entertainment, bringing up the subject of abortion. And here's what Chappelle said. He said, abortion is right, but added, gentlemen, that is fair. And ladies, to be fair to us, I also believe that if you decide to have the baby, a man should not have to pay. That's fair if you can kill this baby. Now, he used other words, and I'm not, obviously, these comedians are not careful with their words. They don't fear God at 1,000 levels. But here's another guy, Louis C.K., in 2017, his Netflix special, he said he was defending pro-life activists, more or less. Listen to what he said. People hate abortion protesters. They're so shrill and awful. They think babies are being murdered. What are they supposed to be like? That's not cool. I don't want to ruin their day as they murder several babies at a time. He's continued, I don't think it's killing a baby. I mean, it is. It's a little bit like killing a baby. It's 100% killing a baby. It's totally killing a whole baby. Well, you talk about somebody who's just, you know, letting the truth out.
Well, what he's doing is he's following his logic and his reasoning. And then he went on to say, Louis C.K. said that he thinks women should be allowed to kill babies through abortion, to which the audience cheered and applauded.
Oh.
And then he mocked them. He said, woo, we get to kill babies? Let's do some shots and kill some babies. He's mocking the audience for their... But that is exactly what is going on today. They do not even... The pro-aborts do not even pretend that it's not killing a baby. They don't have that discussion anymore.
This isn't the 1970s anymore.
No.
This is just the raw, we are out here to kill babies, get over it argument.
Yep.
Coming from the pro-abort side. And they're all saying abortion's a right. My understanding is all three of these comedians have said abortion is a right. Now, here's my question. Before we take the break, Bill, do we breathe a collective sigh of relief that Hollywood and these comedians are finally admitting that abortion is killing a kid? And I'm just going to say, before you sigh your collective sigh of relief, Is there really a value to brutal honesty as you're setting out to kill babies? Is it better for an intensely honest and self-conscious axe murderer to say, yes, I'm out to kill human beings wholesale, or to in some way deny that he's taking human life? Which would be better? And I think the answer is neither.
Yeah, the baby still dies.
Exactly. It's still a very egregious thing. And granted, the hypocrisy of the pro-choice, quote-unquote, abortion movement in America has been nauseating to date. But Nathaniel Hawthorne's last words in Scarlet Letter, some of the very last words, be true, be true, be true. That was the highest ethic for him. When it came to committing adultery and murder and everything else, Nathaniel Hawthorne closed the book, one of the most horrendous books in all of literary history, what he called a hellfire tale inspired by demons. He says, the bottom line is be true, be true, be true. Be true to yourself. Be honest with yourself. You're coming up with your own ethics. You are a god. Stay true to that basic presupposition. Don't doubt yourself now. If you have made the decision to murder another human being, be clear, be true. Don't deny what you're doing. That's the ultimate humanist position, friends. We're going to interact a little more with it in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Hey, dads, time is running out. Your baby boy isn't a baby anymore, and soon he will be gone. Don't miss the opportunities to spend quality time with your boy while you have it. Come to the Colorado Father-Son Retreat this August 25th to the 28th. You'll enjoy an adventure, make lasting memories, enjoy real fellowship, and eat great food. Best of all, you will be encouraged in God's calling for men as you take time for intentional conversations to point your son to Jesus Christ. Get ready to be physically and spiritually refreshed at this intentional, fun-filled retreat. Go to ColoradoFatherSon.com to register for this August 25th to the 28th. Dads and sons of all ages are invited to join us at Horn Creek, Colorado. Spend 4 days and 3 nights of dedicated time with your son. 4 days of fellowship with other men and boys from around the country, all while learning from godly men about living for Christ in today's culture. Go to ColoradoFatherSon.com and register today before time runs out. And we're back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you as we consider the zeitgeist and what the cultural leaders are saying about abortion. They're past denial on this. Many of them, comedians especially, are saying, yes, we are killing children. Get over it. Seems to be the argument that is coming from the Chris Rocks of the world. Now, it is true, Bill, that since the 1970s, we have ultrasound. We have heart monitors. We know about fetal pain. And I think what you get is something of a reflection of the heart of the world. The world understands this. Now, the U.S. Congress, the President of the United States, these comics are telling us, well, kill the kids anyway. That's what they're saying. And I think comedy is oftentimes has more of a leash or a leeway to speak the honest truth for the politicians who aren't quite ready to say what the comics are willing to say.
However, in the recent debate over the most egregious abortion bill in the history of the United States here in Colorado, where they legalized abortion and called the unborn child nothing more than tissue that could be sold as a product or discarded as trash, the other side did not make any pretense about trying to say it was anything other than killing a baby. And those who opposed that bill put up a 24-hour filibuster and took two-hour shifts. Republican representatives did so. And at the end of that, even though the bill was passed, a friend of mine who's a representative said that she noticed a shift in the other side, that the other side did not cheer when the bill was passed, that they could not get out of the room quick enough. She had conversations even with some Democrats who said, you know, I never knew until now, never understood until now, the pro-life position. Because we have been good at throwing platitudes and we've been good at throwing slogans rather than drilling down and discussing. And in that 24 hours, the gospel was preached in the chamber. The reality of what abortion does was exposed. And even though the other side voted lockstep, they walked out shaken to the core.
There's still a conscience. There's still a conscience about it. And that's the point, Bill, I wanted to drive home as well. There is a danger to honesty, especially for those thinkers and comics that are insisting on a self-consistency in this, because you can't stop with, it's a child and I'm going to kill it. You have to ask a few other questions. What if there's a God? What if there's a final judgment? What if we've sinned against God? What if he's deeply offended if we kill one of his children? What if all the problems in the world begin right with the human sinful heart? Well, you know, these are the questions that would lead a man to suicide.
Unless Which is what happened to some of the famous comics, like Robin Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, brilliant comic.
Yeah.
And very pointed in his satire and his expose of the foibles of humankind. But when it drove him to the point where he could no longer face the reality without God.
Yeah. Yeah, without the redemption of the Son of God. I mean, obviously, you know, if you've finally come to the realization that, you know, you've shed innocent blood, you are a murderer, and you face the judgment of Almighty God, and you have sinned against him, and you've taken human life, how do you deal with that? But to open your ears and your eyes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, that would be the only way.
Right.
To be able to handle something like that. Well, let's talk about comedy for just a little bit. I want to draw in something of a discussion here, because comedy can be something of a serious matter. Comedy is one outlet in America where people feel they can be honest for a moment and pretend that they're laughing at their own honesty, or sometimes laughing at their own laughing as they walk into hell. The laughter is supposed to be therapeutic. It quenches the guilt for 10 seconds. Why else would people pay $1,000 penance to hear Chris Rock? I think it does have a therapeutic effect upon the modern mind. Most comedians suffer from depression, it turns out. Not just Robin Williams, it's also Rodney Dangerfield. He was taking antidepressants constantly. Steve Martin, the wild and crazy guy. Someone said hanging out with Steve would be like reading a book alone. Jim Carrey was pretty serious when we talked. Ray Romano, even more so. Lucille Ball never cracked a smile. Bette Midler as well. Lily Tomlin took what she had to say very seriously. Robin Williams, as you said, committed suicide. But these are the comics, and they are often somewhat the prophets of the day. So in the process of looking for comedy, this is what Robin Williams said, you have to be deeply honest. But I find comics to be pretty honest people in terms of looking at stuff from both sides or all sides. The problem, of course, is that eventually, if you intend to be honest, you're going to have to face the truth about God. Comedy often looks at things the way they really are. Comedians state the obvious. It's what comedians do best. Many of them will state the obvious. And they can get away with saying more than others can, because they can cop out and say, I was really joking. Also, comedians take advantage of people laughing over discomfort. It's one reason they get away with such foul language as well. People laugh because they're embarrassed or uncomfortable or even confused. With comedy, there can be ambivalence as well. And modern comics play off of ambivalence. Historically, biblically, comedy should be two forms: attack humor that goes after that which is evil, and endearing humor that goes after that which is good. But when we're not sure if we're attacking or endearing, which is what much of modern comedy does, we're in the realm of relativism. That's what postmodern comics do, and they take advantage of that. I think people need to understand that. That there are points at which we don't know if we're attacking or endearing. We don't know. We're left in the area of ambivalence, and that's why you're not sure if he's attacking the abortionist or he's endearing himself to the abortionist, whether he's attacking the crowd or endearing himself to the crowd. He rides that line, ambivalence, and it's a relativistic line, and he can get away with it as long as the crowd is still laughing. And that's the way modern humor works. Now, friends, ultimately, let's get back to the fundamental for us and for our families. The beginning of wisdom and knowledge is the fear of God. And modern humor and modern culture tends to undermine the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. The question we need to ask ourselves all the time, even when we're dealing with humor, whether it's endearing humor, which usually has something to do with appreciation, gratitude for what God has created, or attack humor, which takes a position against something that is evil. Either way, the question is whether or not we are getting stronger in terms of our reverence for God. The goal of humor and the goal of most pop culture is more diversion. It's not to keep us sober. It's to get us away from thinking deeply and realizing the gravitas of our position, the gravitas of God, the gravitas of our sin, the need for redemption, that sort of thing. That's what modern diversions do for us. So we're not saying that we can't do humor. Humor's okay. We can endear that which is good. We can attack that which is evil, and that's all right. Generally, attack humor is called satire or sarcasm. But when you use sarcasm or satire to put your wife down or put your children down and attack them, these children made in the image of God, we're violating James 4. We don't do that. We don't use our tongue to curse man. So, yeah, you can attack that which is evil, but you're to endear that which is good and use humor to bring that about. Friends, that's a biblical view of humor. But there tends to be an instinctive rejection of sobriety in our society today, in our churches, et cetera, et cetera. And we want to be careful that we don't give way to that. Well, friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. We want to use humor in a proper way. And I think the end result needs to be that we are increasingly sober, taking God's world more seriously, taking God more seriously, and certainly taking the redemption of Jesus more seriously. Because that didn't happen for Robin Williams, Bill, I think the end was horrible for him. He committed suicide.
Right. And that's the one thing that I'm always reminded of, is that when God laughs, it's not a good thing, because he says he laughs at the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't.
It's tack humor.
He smiles on his children, but he laughs
mm-hmm.
at the wicked because of their mockery, because of their attacks on him
mm-hmm.
and his order and his law. And we need to be very cautious about that.
Well, as we wrap up this edition of the Generations broadcast, we're talking about basic cultural expressions. And I would encourage you to our book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture, where we deal with these issues, specifically focusing in on the fear of God, the reverence of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, not just in the educational classrooms, but also in the movies, the music, the comedy, every aspect of our lives. And you can read more of that again in The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.